Thank you very much. I'm glad y'all came today. That song, Great Things He Has Done, if somebody would have told me 30 years ago, I'd be standing in front of a crowd, because this is a crowd. I would have said, no way, you're nuts, I'm not doing it. However, God had other plans, just as he has for each one of us in this room. Some of us know what that plan is, others of us aren't quite sure. We're still trying to find our spot. And others are like, I don't know if I go for all this jazz. But anyhow, I wanted to share with you Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 today. It's been on my heart a lot lately. It's one of those verses that I'm sure many people in this room could recite from memory, or get at least 1 to 3 words in the verse. But do you ever go back and really read those words? I mean, when we're in elementary school, our teachers are always trying to teach us vocabulary so that we can look intelligent when we get older. So it's not and duh and the, oh, duh's not a word. But, you know, we're not always, every other word is duh. You see these sports guys, these athletes on TV. They have a college education in football or baseball. Not many of them have one in actual studies, like English, where they could carry a conversation without saying, duh, yeah, yeah, let's give him the credit. But our teachers endeavor to teach us vocabulary so that we're not speaking as children when we get older. However, somewhere along the line, the world gets into our mind too, so our views become maybe a little shaded. Or you think you know what something means. For instance, say love. Who knows what love is? Anybody. This is class participation day. Okay? Anybody got a definition for love?
Something you put in a Bunsen burner and get hot
love. Act of compassion. Okay, do we have a teenager who knows what love is at this point?
Emotions.
Emotions. Children. The three in the middle row there. Anybody know what love is? Okay, well, I looked up what love meant on the Merriam-Webster Dictionary online, and it says a feeling of strong or constant affection for a person. Okay, yeah, that's great. Well, what happens if you grow up in a loving family, but the dad may be an alcoholic or the mom a raving maniac, and the only kind of love you know is when they slap you? And I think, oh, they really didn't mean to do it. They really do love me. Now, that's not the right kind of love you want to, you know, embrace and suck into your life so that you can grow up and say, yeah, I'm going to do this to somebody else. I really love you, Lynn. Right? We don't want to do that. So we have all these examples throughout our life of how we're going to grow up and how we're going to live. The beauty of it is you get to choose which one of those things you want to embrace and which ones you want to push away from you. According to this, love is also an attraction that includes sexual desire. You know, you get to a certain point in your life and it's like, wow, love's great, isn't it? You get a little bit older and you really maybe start to understand, well, loving isn't always kissy-feely all the time. Love has more meat to it than that, right? So this, I went and they have a definition, and then they have a full definition, which for me, I need a full definition because I need all the help I can get when it comes to understanding certain things. So where it says love is a feeling of strong or constant affection for a person, it also goes on to say in the full definition that it's strong affection for another arising out of a kinship or personal ties. For instance, maternal love for a child. Attraction based on sexual desire, attraction and tenderness, because we're adding more words now, it's tenderness. It's not, I love you, wham. That's not tender, right? It's not. Warm enthusiasm or a devotion. The object of attachment, devotion, or admiration. Unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. Now, how many of us think that that's what love is? Honestly. You know, you hug, you kiss, that's love. But Can you walk up to a complete stranger and say that you love them? Well, if you walked up and said, honey, can I help you today? Can I help you with that cart? You look like you're having a little trouble. Would that be considered love? Mm-hmm. It would. Okay. So, who has a King James Version? Somebody read verses 22 and 23 of Galatians 5, please.
Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Okay. Anybody know what temperance is?
Self-control.
That's good. Discipline. Yep. Yep. I have that here, too. But a lot of people don't know what it means to be temperate. I get the picture of a piece of metal, and I got a little hammer, and I'm molding this into something I want it to look like. I'm not a sculptor, so it might not look great. However, I'm changing what it is. And as we grow up, we need to be in control. But what are we going to set our standard or our base of what's right and wrong? The word should be what we base our lives on, right? Because God is always right. God is always love. God doesn't hate us. Sometimes I don't know why, but he doesn't. Temperance here says it's moderation in action, thought, and feeling. The practice of drinking little or no alcohol. That one, I have no idea what that meant. The practice of always controlling your actions, thoughts, or feelings so that you do not eat or drink too much, become too angry. But say, if somebody doesn't teach you along the way that going from 0 to 60 with your emotions is not a good thing, how are you going to know that? You're not, right? The Amplified Version of Galatians 5, 22 and 23, I chose that because it has a little more expansion to it. It says, verse 22, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. And against such there is no law that can bring a charge. When we're walking in the love of God and manifesting these fruits of the Spirit, how can anybody say anything bad against you? They can't. They might get angry. They might get upset if you step into a room of people who are dark thinkers, not quite on the same page with a godly viewpoint. Maybe even some teenagers, because they don't understand what you're saying. Oh, you want us to be all goody-goody? Well, you know, living for God doesn't mean that you have to be a goody-goody all the time. But you do have to exude God's love and God's image, because he wants us to be imitators of him. Not of us, not of our parents, unless our parents are really godly people who can show us right from wrong, right? So, when we manifest through the fruit of the Spirit, it enables us to witness for him in three ways that I picked. Attracting unbelievers to the body of Christ. Providing relational qualities needed within the church. And protecting believers from destructive consequences of sin. So go to Matthew chapter 5. I'll be reading from the Amplified Version. And it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So why are we supposed to walk manifesting these fruits of the Spirit? For ourselves? Because we want attention? I'm not an attention getter. I don't want attention. I just want to help people. However, one of the drawbacks of walking in verse 22 and 23 is you get attention. When I first got in the Word, my brother said to me, you don't have to worry about people coming up and, you know, you going and talking to people about the Word. Because if you're living the Word, they're going to find you. They're going to say, I don't know what it is about you, Howard, but I want what you have. hopefully you'll know what it is that you have that you can share it with them, right? 30 years ago, I was like, please don't talk to me. Please don't talk to me. I don't know enough. I still don't know as much as I should, but every day I get to learn a bit, little bit more, and then I can share that. So, unbelievers are not easily impressed with what we say and do. They're more interested in how we behave and how we act. Because if I'm a so-called Christian, and I go up to Lynn, and I'm really ticked off at her, and I'm like, maybe I won't pick on you. I'll go pick on Jonathan, okay? I'm going to go up to Jonathan, and I'm going to say, Jonathan, you know what? You really... And he's going to say, she's a Christian? Well, how is that? We have to learn in our grow-up words what we're supposed to say and do and how to get to the bottom of conflict just in the church, right? So maybe I have a brash demeanor. Jenny could say, come here, Kim. Why don't you try a little bit of honey on that bite that you have? So that I'm like going to rip Jonathan a new whatever. I'm going to lovingly implore him to see things my way if mine are the right way, right? All right. Thanks, Jonathan. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 13 and 15. And I'm using the New International Version of that. It says to submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it's God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. When we walk by the fruit of the Spirit, as I said, we can't help but get noticed. Sometimes we're the only candle standing in a very dark room. And some of us who may be chicken, that was me, I wouldn't open my mouth and say anything. Because I'm like, they're throwing me to the wolves. I'm the only person in this room. They're all going to go, let's get her because she's weird. But you can so let your light shine before the darkness in a room that people will start to see, well, maybe I could be nicer. Maybe I could say something to help that person out. Well, why is she always the one who's getting up and helping somebody? Well, I know how to do that too. Well, okay, do it, right? So, for sure there are those out there who are searching who's going to say there's something different about you when you're walking according to the Word. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. In the New Living Translation, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. As we live love, joy, peace, meekness, all these things, we're going to be showing God's love to a very dark world. We're going to be saying, hey, there's a better way. There's an awful lot of people out there who are struggling in life. I mean, kids are killing themselves left and right. And why is that? It can't always be just the parent not staying on top of them, because our job is to teach our children as best we can, and then we have to leave them grow up so they can go out and do things on their own, correct? That's our hope and dream anyway, right? A lot of kids don't get that. And the parents are oblivious because they've got all these distractions on them from the world. Oh, we've got to work, we've got to pay the bills, we've got to do this. Oh, and we had kids. Well, we got to fit them in somewhere. But sometimes they fall through the cracks. And I know helping my daughter with her band stuff, there is so much drama. And there are so many kids, your heart just hurts. And the normal or the worldly parents who don't profess Jesus or God or even mention him in a good way, they don't have a clue. They don't see the things that we see because we have the Word as a standard. What God tells us is out there. The pitfalls that can happen to these people. So, that's my dark room, is the band at this point. And they do look at me weird. You know, you walk up to a teenager, of course, you know, they all think we're from Mars anyway, but you walk up to them and it's like, hey, how's it going? You doing all right? Yeah, I'm fine. And then they go over and go, and they're freaking out. And I'm like, okay, well, I definitely know that's not fine, but they don't want to talk to anybody. So I have to figure out how can I get these people to work together, because they're going on the field in 10 minutes. And you know how undistracted you need to be when you get on a field in front of hundreds of people? You need to be pretty undistracted. Anyhow, even the church was a witness for God. The Holy Spirit came upon the apostles. Man, they went out and they talked. And each one of us have that same ability to get out there and open our mouth and just talk. It's not a big deal. It's not like, okay, we used to go door-to-door witnessing. And what do you think about Jesus? Oh, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, blah, 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 blah. You know what? I wasn't the kind of person who learned that way. You know, if you tell me the gist of what you're trying to say, that worked so much better for me. If you had an example that I could put in my mind, mull it over, and think, oh, yeah, I could see how that would work. That was so much easier for me. But even the church's ability to witness is affected by the Holy Spirit. In our world today, men and women need to see what a godly marriage is. They just do. They may think they love each other, but they're always... I could probably count on one hand how many times I've had an argument with my husband in 30 years. Now, how exciting is that? When most people will come home and say, I thought you were going to do that today. No, you said you were going to do it. Well, did you pick up so-and-so? Well, no, I didn't pick up so-and-so. It was your turn to pick them up today. Well, what do you do with all that kind of stuff? So you need to, like, get on the same page. And if you don't have a standard to go by, let me tell you, the world's got a lot of them out there. You can pick one of a million and say, oh, yeah, today we're going to do, what was that baby doctor's name? Spock. Oh, yeah, we're going to do Spock's way of training this week. Let me tell you, honey, don't do it that way. Okay, well, what way is he supposed to do it? You didn't tell him how he's supposed to do it. Well, Spock will tell you, don't hit your child. When they came out with a couple years, well, it must have been 20 years ago now, maybe. I'd take the boys to the grocery store, and I'd have a certain amount of time to get my things done, and we'd get in there, and I'd have my spoon on me because... That's just what I did in those days. I carried my spoon. And this little old man, they were doing something. And you know when there's two of them, that's twice as many as you, and you don't have eyes everywhere. Children, you don't know that, though. Parents have eyes everywhere. But this one's grabbing for this, and no, that we don't have a coupon. We're not getting that one today. No, I want them. Anybody have their kid melt down in public? Mayan only did that once, and then we went outside and corrected it, and then we came back and finished our lovely shopping spree. But this little old man was in this thing, and Daniel or Stephen was doing something, and I tapped them. I get to the next aisle, this little old man says, I saw what you did. I said, oh really, what was that? I saw you hit that boy. I said, sir, thank you. I said, but you know what? If you go into that next aisle and he's doing something else and you're there, you're going to see me hit him again. And he's like, okay. I said, I'm 30-something years old and my parents beat the crap out of me. Now, mind you, I'm just doing a tap, but we'd get the belt. I've seen my mother with a brush. I've seen her with a bat.
When did you get it?
I said, I've seen it. I watched you and learned, dear brother. See, I learned my example very well. Anyhow, people need to see. It was aluminum, too. She worked at an aluminum bat and tennis racket factory. All right, anyway. But they also need to see when you put honesty before profit. I mean, I know if you go to Nick's shop, he wants to do the best that he can for you. And he will not stop until it's done right. So that's just another thing. And people see that. They want to come back. They want to refer their friends to somebody who's going to take care of them. All right. So number two, providing relational qualities needed for harmony within the church. The fruit of the Spirit needs to be operating in the church if we are to succeed in accomplishing God's purposes. For example, believers from a different part of the country or the world, we can work together like a well-oiled machine. Why is that? Because somebody can speak Greek and Hebrew and Hindi and whatever, or we can speak English? No, it's because we have the Word of God as a standard. If we're all endeavoring to work on the same team, we're all going to be moving in the same direction. It's not going to be this disheveled. I remember we used to do meetings, and big meetings, and you would go and you'd be given a job, or you'd volunteer for a job, and if you did your job and walked according to the word, then you didn't have a problem. But when you got somebody who wanted to be snooty, and I'm in charge, and blah, 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 things didn't run so well. The employee volunteers, so to say, were disgruntled. Well, who made you boss? Why are you doing it that way? Wouldn't it be better if we did it this way? It would go faster. I'm in charge, and I said we're doing it this way. But if you have the Word of God, you're all working towards the same purpose, right? We all want to encourage. We all want to build up. We all want to walk out loving one another because we're not all perfect. None of us are perfect yet, but there is going to be a day when we will be. So every day when you get up, it's a chance for and an opportunity for us to encourage one another with the Word. You know, not beat each other down. Well, the Word says you're not doing this and blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, can you show me how to do it so that I'm not continuously making the same mistakes? Okay. Can the body continue to run smoothly if we don't walk according to the Word? No. I mean, we can love people from all kinds of denominations, but if they're not going directly on the Word, there are just some things we're always going to be locking heads over. Because what's the standard? The Word of God. We can't have private interpretation, and a lot of ministries and religions out there have private interpretation. Shoot, even some people within those organizations have their own policies that they want to make up. This is my church. Well, you know what? It's not my church. It's God's church. I want to be on the same team with God, so I have to profess and do the things that God put in His Word for me to do. Some things I may do well. Other places I have a lot to learn. And that's what makes up the body. Because what Ken's good at, I may not be so good at. So I can watch him because I'm a watching kind of a person. I see and like, oh, that makes more sense. Let's try that way. Or I'll see Ginny. Or I'll see Billy. Or I'll see Stevie. I mean, he's young. He grew up here. But he has different views because he's way out in the world doing things that I never did. However, he still knows the standard of God's Word. And then he can add his two cents according to the Word and make that whole situation in God's favor. If a group of believers have all the fruits of the Spirit, but if they don't operate them, there will eventually be a breakdown and can result in churches or ministries splitting. I'm taking my ball and bat and I'm making my own thing because I didn't like the way you did that. And I don't think that's what the Word says. I think it says this. Got to let the Word speak for itself. What does God say the Word says? Could you imagine what would happen when a group of believers are walking in the Spirit? What power must be manifesting? Did you ever have a day that really clicked for you? I mean, it was like, wow, nothing you did turned out wrong. Wasn't that a great day? We could do that every day when we walk by God's Spirit. And, you know, we don't even have to be, like, turning on the thinking cap. It's like, wow, yeah, I'm humming today, boy. and everything would go much smoother and quicker. I know I've had those days when I had a list this long, and some days it feels like a week and a day. But when you're humming along, doing God's word, and it gets to a point where you don't even have to think about it anymore, doesn't your day like go really fast and you're wondering, did I forget something today? I must have forgot something because I got done way too quickly. I'm still in a good mood. And I even have dinner cooking. Isn't this great? But that's how it can be with God. All right. Now, of all the 9 fruits of the Spirit that Paul mentions, which 2 do you think you would need the most when temptation comes knocking on your door?
Perseverance.
Okay. Another one?
Faith.
Faithfulness and self-control are the 2 that I picked. Because we have to be faithful to something. Why not be faithful to God's word? I know what God's done for me in my life, and I'm sure each one of you have a story in your life that God saved you from. God took you out of the pit and set you in heavenly places. And the other one is self-control. It takes a lot sometimes not to jump in somebody's face. I was like that yesterday. I wanted to jump into my computer and I wanted to, because it wasn't doing what I wanted to do. You know, I almost got to the end of the newsletter. That's why we don't have it today. Because my computer decided when I went to highlight, copy, and paste it over here, it didn't. And it would just delete it. And then there'd be this big space. Like, oh, I'll just backspace it. It would take it in that big space and it would just move it right over here wherever it wanted on this side of the page. And I was like, I have to go now. I've been here for 2 hours. I have to go meet a bus to go to a cavalcade. So I didn't get it done. But I was pretty angry about that. So in order for me to self-control myself, I had to walk away from my computer. But there are other circumstances that you're in the middle of that you can take control of.
Put your arm down.
I wouldn't suggest anybody, you know, in a gun-type situation would, like, jump and say, hey, take me. But, you know, you have the tools to talk to people, talk about God, talk in a soft manner, not like, oh, God. You know, maybe it's because we don't have fear of dying because we know where we're going to go if Jesus Christ doesn't come back in 10 minutes. What do I got to lose? By opening my mouth and being nice to somebody. What do I have to lose to submit myself and do the things in a godly fashion that I can do? To have consistent victory in our lives, we need to rely on what the word we've been taught through the scriptures. I was taught a lot of things growing up in my house that were right and wrong. Didn't hear a lot of the word mentioned, but I know there were principles that were applied because at one point or another, my parents were both brought up in a religion. For that, I'm thankful. I had grandparents that I could look to who were brought up in a religion and were very into that religion. But at least it gave me a glimpse of who God was and the love that he had and what was available. Because I know there were times in my life where I was just like, I don't know where to go and I don't know what to do. I am so far in a hole, I don't know how to get out. Thankfully, somebody talked to me and said something to me. When the world was saying, maybe you should go see a shrink. Maybe you should go see a doctor. Well, what's a doctor going to do if I don't change my mind? And I needed something that was going to help me change my mind for the better. And the only thing that could do that was God. Because God loves you through thick and thin. No matter where you go, what you do, you're never alone. Ever. From a child, we're taught right from wrong. Therefore, giving us a guide to go by when situations arise. So how can we be more in self-control? Anybody got any ideas?
Speak in tongues.
We need to turn our attention to the things of God because God has given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. There's not a situation in the world that's going to come up that we won't be able to handle because God shows us in his word how to handle it. He's given us the tools to overcome the adversary. And you know where you find them? In the world. Nope, in the Word, right. In the Word. So, here's some food for thought. If the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, temperance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, what would happen if just one of those fruits were replaced by hate or sorrow or war, impatience, badness, unkindness, infidelity, or unfaithfulness? How long do you think it would take for love, joy, peace, meekness, and all these good things to go downhill? How long before that one bad thing, that one bad characteristic, would permeate your life and start sucking you down? Janet, I know you do a lot of canning. What happens when you get one bad apple in a big bunch of apples? They rot. They may not do it all at once, but eventually it starts to eat away a little bit at a time. And then you don't have that sizzle you used to have for the Lord because you let that one thing creep in. So, think about that as you're going on your way this week. If you get in a situation and maybe you feel your blood pressure rising very quickly because you're angry at something, let it go. What's the big deal, really? You say what you need to say, you handle the situation, but anger's just going to escalate a situation. It's not going to make it better. Think, you know, use our grown-up words. How are we going to get through a situation or a problem? So that's what I wanted to share this morning. So Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for your love, for your patience. Thankful, Father, for how you continue to give me opportunities to open my mouth and serve you. Thanks for covering things when I'm not quite sure. And thanks for just blessing these people with a great day today.